Welcome, everybody, to Good Friday, the day that we remember and we celebrate the greatest sacrifice ever made in human history. Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. And tonight, the main invitation that I have for you in the time that we're going to be here is to try to imagine being there. That's what I want to invite you to do. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? To watch the Son of God give his life for the sins of the world, knowing that it was your sin and my sin in part that he was paying for. Can you imagine watching anyone, much less God himself, doing something like that for you, for me? It's a moment that we're not meant to rush past on Easter weekend. It's one that we are meant to sit in and remember. After all, that's what Jesus commanded us to do with Easter weekend. Do you remember the Last Supper he had with his disciples in the upper room? He said, from now on, I want you to make a habit. I want you to make a ritual. I want you to make establish a cycle and a rhythm of remembering what's about to happen this weekend. I want you to remember. And so that's what we're going to do this evening. We are going to be still and know. Remember that he is God, the God who saved us from our sins on Good Friday. So yeah, we're gonna sing together, we're gonna sing songs. Yes, we're gonna hear the story of Good Friday in some creative ways tonight. Yes, we're gonna take communion together like we do every single Good Friday. But there are also gonna be a few moments tonight where we're just gonna be still and we're just gonna be silent in prayer. And we're gonna be still and we're gonna be silent because in the story of Good Friday, there are some moments where God himself was still and silent. And it turns out that those moments are the most important parts of the story of Good Friday. And so tonight, what I want to try to do as a church family, as a group of people, as friends tonight, I'd like to sit and try to listen to the silence of God on Good Friday. So that's how we're going to begin. We're going to be still and know that he is God. A couple of times tonight, I'm gonna invite you to get into a posture of prayer. And that's whatever's comfortable for you. There's really no wrong way to do it. You can look at the cross if you want. You can close your eyes if you want. You can open your hands if you want. You can kneel if you want. It's not weird. You can do whatever you want. But we're going to have some times where I'm gonna guide you in being still and guide you in praying. But let's just start by having a moment to settle our minds as we gather around the cross. Let's take a breath. Everybody take a breath. And maybe close your eyes, maybe bow your head, and let's just be still for a moment. And I invite you to pray with me. Father, God, we remember you tonight. We're here to remember you tonight. We remember and we believe that you're here with us right now. You are not far. We don't have to go find you. You're right here. And we declare in this place that that is who you are. You are our Father, and you love us. You are not angry. You are not disinterested. You are not aloof. You are not unaware. Your posture towards us is love. You are our Heavenly Father. You love us. You delight in us. Your grace is enough for us this evening. And so in light of who you are, God, we give and surrender our life to you. Whatever we can, as much as we can, we just give everything and everyone to you. We give you tonight. And whatever happens tonight, we give you all the worries that we walked in with, the things, the distractions, the complications. We give you our home life. We give you work. We give you our marriages. We give you our kids. We give you this weekend. We give you all the people that may be visiting. We just give it all to you. Because your hands are the best hands that we could hope for it to be in. And our request, or if I may, on behalf of everyone here, our request tonight, God, is we want whatever you have for us. I believe you're a God. You say you are our portion. You always have something for each and every one of us tonight. You have something. And we just say, God, we want whatever you have for us. Maybe just ask him that right there. Everyone in the audience, just say, God, what do you have for me tonight? I want it. Just tell him that. So Father, as we worship and we begin here, we just are asking that whatever you have for us, God, we want it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand and sing.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake. The veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens rolled? All hail King Jesus.
I am Pontius Pilate, a soldier of Rome. I have stood where power breathes. Marble beneath my feet, Rome behind my back. And before me, a man who did not tremble. That morning, the city was loud with accusation. Voices sharp as blades, demanding blood. They brought him to me bruised, silent, crowned with mockery, yet somehow heavier than any king I had judged before. I asked him questions meant to provoke fear, questions any man would answer to save his life. But he did not defend himself. No pleas, no argument, no fight to escape. Silence. Not weakness, something far more unsettling. He stood beneath their accusations and carried them without resistance. What kind of king does not protect his throne? I searched for fault and found none that would satisfy their hunger. Still, the crowd roared louder, justice bent beneath their shouting. And I felt something fracture inside me. Water ran over my hands, but the weight did not lift. Though I was sending him to his death, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was his plan all along, as if he were not losing his life, but surrendering it.
I wonder if you remember a time when you heard somebody tell a story wrong and it bothered you. Or better, I wonder if you remember a time when you heard somebody tell a story wrong about you, maybe secondhand. How did you feel? Or better question, how much mental and emotional energy did you spend thinking about it, worrying about it, being mad about it, fixing it, maybe even confronting it? If you're anything like me, it's a lot. So with that in mind, now I want you to imagine Jesus on Good Friday. He's arrested and he is brought before the Jewish authorities and then later the Roman authorities. And what unfolds over the course of this day is the definition of injustice. He has lived a perfect life and yet he's accused of sin. He has spoken nothing but the truth. He is the truth in a body, God's truth. And yet they call him a liar and they lie about him over and over again. He's God in the flesh, worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise and all worship, and yet they humiliate him. He's the creator of life, and yet they sentence him to death. That's what I want you to imagine. Jesus pulled before the Sanhedrin and then before Pilate, accused of the worst sins against God, sentenced to the worst death, death on a cross. And now I want you to imagine him sitting there with the ability to stop it at any moment. With a word, with a flick of his finger, he could have summoned legions of angels to end it, to end them, to vindicate himself and save his life. And that's Jesus on Good Friday. They're accusing him, mocking him, hurting him, wounding him. And what does he do? He sits there silent. Why? Well, because this is why he came. Like the gospel writer John says, that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent him to save it. God didn't send Jesus to condemn. He actually sent him to be condemned for us. Or as the Apostle Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My friends, Jesus wasn't the victim of Good Friday. He was its architect. This is what he came for. Now, the cross didn't choose Jesus. Nah, it's the other way around. Jesus chose the cross. And in choosing the cross, he chose you and me. After all, death was the consequence of our sin, not his. Separation from God was the sentence for our rebellion, not his. We were the ones that had a debt to pay, that had sin to account for, that had guilt to manage. Not him. But Good Friday was the day that Jesus stood before the judge of heaven and earth, holding our ledger in his hand and said, take me. You can put it on me. Make me the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world. And he chose that with his silence. My friends, on Good Friday, you were chosen. We were chosen. Perhaps the loudest voice that has ever spoken over you was the silence of Jesus before Pilate on Good Friday when he chose a cross that should have been yours and mine. And I just want to take a minute and sit in that silence. Sit in that moment. So I'm going to invite you back into that moment, that posture of prayer for just a minute. And I want us to sit in the moment when Jesus returned accusation and condemnation with absolute silence. And I want you to sit in that moment, if you will. I don't want you to rush past it. Don't look away. Why? Because it's the moment that he chose you. So let's be still and remember the God who chose us. So bow your head, close your eyes if you want, and let's sit in it. And hey, while we're here, before we move on, I wonder if there's anything that you would like to give Jesus. Because chances are some of us walked in tonight carrying something. Or some things. Things that make you feel distant from God. Things that are making you question his love for you a little bit. Or maybe his liking of you a little bit. Maybe you're carrying something that makes you wonder if God is for you or if he's near to you. I bet a lot of us are, but Good Friday is the day that Jesus said, you can put it on me. You can put it on me. It's the day he chose to carry your sin so that you didn't have to carry it anymore. And so I just want to ask, while you're there in prayer and you're in this moment with Jesus as he was silent before Pontius Pilate, I wonder, is there anything that you want to give him? What did you walk in carrying? Do you want to lay it down? Because you can. Let's not carry it any longer. So I would like to invite you just right now to take whatever it is that you feel like is a barrier or a separation or keeping you far from God, whether it's something you've done or haven't done, something you are or aren't, your past, your present, or your future, and I just like to invite you to give it to him. You can just simply say, Jesus, I'm putting it on you. Jesus, I'm giving this to you. And when I say amen, you're going to leave it with him and walk away with his grace. So you're invited right now, just right where you are in your heart. Jesus, I'm giving it to you. What do you want to give to him? Let's place our sin on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, whatever we have that's weighing us down and keeping us far, we give to you. It's yours. Thank you for your silence before Pilate on Good Friday. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Thank you.
Bore him, the one who first whispered his name, his mother. I remember the first time I held him, so small, so quiet, the weight of a promise wrapped in flesh. And now I stand before what I never imagined, a sorrow I cannot escape. I watch him stumble beneath the wood meant to end him. Each step tears at my breath as if it were my own body failing. I want to run to him, to wipe the blood from his face, to remind him of lullabies and candlelight at home. But all I can do is stand. They lift him between heaven and earth as if neither wanted to claim him. His hands, the same hands that once reached for mine, are torn open for a world that did not recognize him. He looks down and still thinks of others, still loves, still forgives, and we can do nothing but watch. Suddenly, he cries out, and my heart breaks in a way words cannot hold. My God, why? A question bursting from my heart as well. Why, God? Why have you forsaken him, forsaken us? After all he has done, all he has declared, all he has poured out, he is your king. I cry out to the heavens, but silence is all that returns. And I suddenly realize the truth, that God is not asking me to lose a son. He's inviting me to offer him, because somehow, even in his death, he is going to save us all.
Have you ever called on somebody for help and they didn't respond? Uncharacteristically? Like when you really needed them? Do you remember how you felt in that moment? Well, that's what we see on Good Friday. And you flip over a couple of pages from where we were before, the scene has darkened. What you see in the story is you have God the Son hanging on a cross and God the Father watching from heaven. And there's this moment when Jesus calls out to his Father, "Help! Where are you?" He calls out to a Father with whom he has had perfect union and intimacy for all of eternity. But this time, when he calls out, God does not respond. He says nothing. He does nothing. No provision, no comfort, no relief, no rescue. And you can imagine the shock. You can imagine the isolation, both for Jesus and for Mary. Like, where's God? Why is he silent? Of course, Jesus knew why. But Mary would find out later. And this is why, as the prophet Isaiah says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way. And in this moment, this was the moment, in this moment, the Lord was laying on him the iniquity of us all. This was the moment when Jesus paid it all, when God put the full weight of our sin on him and turned away and forsook him. And the question is, why would he do that? Why would God the Father forsake his one and only Son? Here's why. Because in turning away from Jesus, he was turning to you and me. He was turning to you. The Father forsook the Son, and when he did that, what he was really doing was he was saving, and he was paying for, and he was buying back you and me. He was buying back you and me. And that's a moment that I want to sit in for just a minute. And here's why. Because you know how valuable something is by what someone is willing to pay for it, right? And you know, where Peter says, "Don't you know? Don't you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, No, it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You know how valuable something is by what someone's willing to pay for it. And my friends, you were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God forsook him so that he could embrace you. You remember the famous story of the prodigal son, the young man who said, "Dad, I wish you're dead," and took his inheritance and went to a faraway land, squandered it, ruined his life, comes to his senses and slinks back home thinking, maybe I can just be a servant. But Jesus in this parable tells us that no, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son and he embraced him and threw his arms around him, kissed him on the cheek, put the family ring back on his finger and the robe on his back, and he threw a great party. And my friends, that's Good Friday. Good Friday is God running after you. It's God running after you. He turned from Jesus so that he could run after you. You've been paid for at great cost. At great cost. And I just want you to know that's the heart of God towards you, the heart of Father God towards you. As the song we're about to sing says, there's no shadow he won't light up and no mountain he won't climb up to come after you. There's no wall he won't kick down and there's no lie he won't tear down to come after you. You've been paid for. God's silence at the cross on Good Friday was the loudest anyone's ever loved you. This is the loudest anyone's ever loved you. And I just wanted to take a moment for a second time and sit in this silence. This is the second moment of silence in the Good Friday story that I want us to enter into. And so I invite you back into a posture of prayer for us to sit in the moment when God was silent at the cross. When he was silent at the cross. So let's be still. Let's be still. And let's remember the God who paid for us with the blood of his son. I want to speak one moment to somebody in the room. I bet there's somebody in the room. You're sitting there thinking, let's just stay in a moment of prayer. But I want you're sitting there thinking, nah, this is too good to be true. Dude, there's no way God's running after me. There's no way God would pay anything for me. And I just want to tell you, oh yes, there is. Because oh yes, he did. He loves you. And he wants you. And maybe tonight needs to be the night where you run into the arms of the Father who's been running after you for a really long time through Jesus. And if that's you, if someone in the room's going, yeah, man, I want that, I'd invite you right now maybe to open your hands and just right where you are in your heart say, Father, I'm coming home. Just say that. Father, I'm coming home. Jesus has paid for my way home and I am done living life apart from you. So if you still want me, you still love me, I'm yours. I'm coming home. Just tell him that. Father, I'm coming home. Father, I'm coming home. Just say that to him. That's what it means to become a Christian, by the way. Becoming a Christian means coming home to God through Jesus. And if you want to do that, just tell him, Father, I'm coming home. And I don't know, maybe there's some of us who are Christians in the room going, man, I kind of want to pray that because, you know, we're in a season, we're always stressed in some way, we're always busy in some way, we're always prone to distraction. I'm so prone to wander sometimes, prone to forget how God feels about me and who I am to him. And maybe there's some of us that just want to open our hands and say in a fresh way and in a new way all over again, God, I just want to receive who you are and how you love me tonight on Good Friday. I need it in a fresh way, in a new way. And maybe just open your hand and say, God, I receive it. Or just pray with me, God, I receive your love. Tell him that. Father, I receive your grace. Tell him that. Father, I receive your mercy. Father, I receive your provision. Father, I receive your power. Father, I receive your leadership in my life. I receive your presence. It's never going away. I receive your delight in me as your son, as your daughter. Just open your hands and receive the value placed on you when you were purchased by the blood of Jesus. Yes, Father, we receive that tonight. Jesus, we receive that tonight. Father, thank you for your silence at the cross on Good Friday. When you turned and ran, you turned from Jesus and you ran towards us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
us even today. We love you, Lord. Amen. You can have a seat.
I am a centurion of Rome, a commander of soldiers. I've overseen countless deaths, rebellions, thieves, men who screamed and begged Rome for mercy. This was supposed to be the same. But this man did not curse us. We nailed him down, and he spoke forgiveness like it was breath itself. Not for himself, but for us. The crowd mocked him, called him king in jest. Yet the way he endured the pain, steady and deliberate, it unsettled even my soldiers. When the sky turned black at midday, fear crept into places armor could not protect. The ground shook beneath our feet, and suddenly, Rome felt very small. I had seen strength before, but this was something else. When he cried out, "It is finished," it did not sound like defeat. It sounded complete. Not like something taken away, but something fulfilled. Not a man claimed by death, but a man claiming power over it. I lowered my weapon. I could not explain it, only speak what I knew to be true. Surely, this man was a son of God.
So there's this moment, John describes it in his gospel. At the very end, Jesus hoists himself up one last time. That's how you had to breathe on a cross. Lift yourself up. And with one of his last breaths, he shouts out, in the Greek, it's one word, tetelestai. And in English, we know it as it is finished. It is finished. Which is a little peculiar because he didn't say, I am finished. Though that's what was visibly happening. Now he said, it's finished. Talking about something else. No one knew what he meant at the time until it happened. Because in this moment when Jesus' body at last was still and his voice for the last time fell silent. And when he gave his spirit up in that moment, darkness covered the land. The earth began to shake, and down the road a bit in the temple of God, the curtain that had been standing between men and God for generations, the symbol of our consequence of sin, the thing that separates us from God, in that moment, this thick curtain tore into from top to bottom as if by the very hand of God. And then all of a sudden it was clear. Oh, when Jesus said it is finished, he was saying the sin was finished. This was no sigh of defeat. This was a shout of victory that Jesus was claiming from the cross. Paul describes it this way. He says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And so we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. That's what tetelestai means. Tetelestai was a victorious claim over your life, proclaiming that the power of sin is finished in your life and in my life. Sin's claim over you is finished. Sin's authority over you is finished. You are no longer just a sinner. You are no longer a slave to sin. No, you are a son. You are a daughter of the living God who has been, in the words of Jesus, born again, made into a new creation. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that now lives in you, you can say yes to God and you can say no to sin. Jesus Christ has set you free. The power of sin is broken in your life. It is finished. But not only does tetelestai mean that the power of sin is broken in your life, it also means that the effects of sin are broken or being broken in your life. Like separation from God is finished. Why? Because you have been brought near through Jesus who purchased you with his blood. Shame has been finished in your life. Why? Because you have been covered and you are being cleansed. Guilt is finished in your life. Why? Because you've been paid for by the blood of the Lamb who's paid a great price for you. Your old name and your old reputation has been finished. Why? Because your heavenly Father is giving you a new name in Jesus. The wounds that you've carried around, some of you for decades of your life, they are finished in Jesus' name. Why? Because you are being healed and restored and made whole again. This is the good news of Jesus. This is the good news of Jesus, that by his finished work on the cross, what's hurt can be healed, what's broken can be fixed, what's lost can be found, what's ruined can be redeemed, and what's dead can come back to life in Jesus' name. This is the gospel. It is finished. It is finished. That's what the silence of this last moment means. And Jesus was finally still, and his voice was finally silenced for the last time. It wasn't a silencing of him. It was a silencing of sin and death. That's what it means. And here's the coolest part. In that moment, as sin and death was silenced, a new noise broke out. For the very first time, the sound, the noise, the song, the voice, even the taunt of the people of God saying, "Let's go! Sin and death has been silenced." In the middle of that silence erupted a brand new voice and a brand new song, the worship of the people of God, proclaiming with the words of Paul something like, "Where, O death, is your victory?" It's a taunt. "Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. And that's the last silence that I just want to sit in on Good Friday for a minute. I want to go back one more time into a posture of prayer. And let's sit in that moment. Let's sit in that moment when Jesus, our Savior, silenced sin and death. Let's enjoy the victorious silence of our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Close your eyes if you want. Look at the cross if you want. Bow your head. Open your hands if you want. But let's not rush past this moment. Let's sit in it. Maybe let your prayers turn to praise as you behold a victorious Savior. There's one more thing, though, I want to do before we leave this moment. Because we've sung tonight, and we're going to sing a few more. And praise is where it starts, responding to our victorious Savior, but it's not where it ends. The goal here is not simply to delight in the finished work of Jesus. The goal is to claim it. To claim it in your life. And that's important because there are some things in your life right now that are acting as if they aren't finished. And tonight they need to hear and run into the words of our Savior. It is finished. There are things in your life and there are things in mine. They're acting like it's not over, but it is. And it's not enough just to sing about it and be happy about it. Jesus is inviting us to claim it in our lives. And so here's how I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. And this is a call and response prayer. And I'm gonna mention a thing. I'm gonna name a thing that's in your life, and I know because it's in mine. And then I'm gonna say the words, "But tonight we say." And when I do, If you want to claim the finished work of Christ, celebrate the finished work of Christ over it in your life. I want you to say, it is finished. And not like all timidly like, but like you mean it, you know? Like you're happy about it, like it's Good Friday and we've got a victorious Savior. That's what I want to invite you to do. Because, for example, some of us walked in carrying shame. Let's stay in a posture of prayer. Shame about who we've been, what we've done, and what's been done to us. And it's been weighing us down. It's been keeping us from God. But tonight we say, it is finished. Some of us walked in hearing accusations. That voice that says, you're a failure, you are not enough, you will never change. But tonight we say, it is finished. Some of us walked in carrying wounds. Pain we've learned to live with, burdens we've just accepted as normal. But tonight we say, some of us walked in with fear. Fear about the future, fear about what's coming, fear that we won't make it, fear that we're never gonna live up to it or never gonna be enough. But tonight, over fear, we say, it is finished. Some of us walked in believing lies. Lies about who we are, lies about who God is, lies about our story, and lies about our future. And tonight, back at those lies, we say, some of us walked in under the weight of sin and the claim of death on our lives, believing that sinner is just who we are and all that will ever be, and that death is the only destiny that we have. But tonight, to over sin and death, we proclaim in Jesus' name, it is finished. Heavenly Father, we stand in you, in Jesus, and we look at our failures, we look at our shame, we look at our wounds, we look at our fears, we look at our worries, we look at our hurts, we look at every lie and every plan and every design of the enemy against our lives and our family and our church and our community, and we say by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross on Good Friday, we proclaim once and for all that it is finished. It is finished. We stand in our victorious Savior who calls us by name and knows the plans that he has for us. And we just proclaim that the enemy is defeated. Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. And so, Father, it was finished then. May it in Jesus' name be finished right here, right now. In my life. And in the lives of my friends here, and in our families, and in the lives of our children and our loved ones, and in the lives of our friends and neighbors, and in our community, may it be finished in Jesus' name. And it is in his awesome, victorious name that we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Cross is my beginning, the line drawn in the sand, the end of all my striving. Now I am born again. There Jesus was forsaken, so I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won. The Son of God has spoken. No.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." As we sing this next song, we'll take communion together as a church family, and you are invited. This was given to us in a way to remember what Jesus did for us on Good Friday. So anyone who wants to claim the death and resurrection of Jesus for them and their life and him as their Savior, you are invited to take communion this evening. The guest services team is going to come forward and dismiss you row at a time just so we have some order in the room. But you can go grab the elements of communion and you can take it at your own pace as we sing this next song. So here we go. Let's take communion together as a family.
If you haven't had a chance to take communion yet, you're welcome to take that now. But it was never about what we could do or how good we could be. But it was always about the blood and the hope and the promise of Jesus. And so we want to sing that one more time. So if you would you stand to your feet as we respond to all that he's done and all that he will do? We sing.
Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, walking in the dirt with you and me, yes. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. Man of sorrow, son of suffering,
blood and tears.
Oh, blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, and praise the one who would reach for me. Oh, hallelujah to the Son of suffering. Some imagine you are distant and removed, but you chased us down in merciful pursuit. Thank you, Jesus. To the sinner you will grace, and the broken you embrace. Indeed, the end, the proof is in your wounds.
Come on, we declare that tonight.
That in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Oh, blood. There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, and praise the one who would reach for me. Oh, and hallelujah to the Son of Suffering.
We remember tonight his cross.
It's your cross is my freedom. Your stripes are my healing. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking. Your love is still reaching. All praise.
Come on, we believe tonight.
Glory to God forever. Your cross is my freedom. Your stripes and my healing. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking. Your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory.
Well, thank you for joining us for Good Friday. And we can't wait to celebrate Easter in a few days. Hey, if you haven't thought about who you might be inviting to come sit with you at Easter, please do. Easter's the time. It's one of like the best times all year to invite someone to come sit with you at church. We're going to make the whole service with your guests in mind. That's what we do every year. But it's also going to be great for us. But this is the time to invite some friends. But thank you for being here. We love you. Hope you have an amazing rest of your Friday night. And I hope to see you Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all have an amazing evening. Love you guys. You're dismissed.